Welcome to the Weeks Act Legacy Trail. Prepare to embark on a journey across 100 miles of the White Mountains, traveling on the timeline of their dramatic history. Along the way, you'll stop to explore 40 fascinating sites of interest, each one bringing you closer to a compelling discovery: the story of how these lands became the White Mountain National Forest. The sites of the Weeks Act Legacy Trail are numbered 1 through 40, along a counterclockwise loop, starting at Artist's Bluff in Franconia Notch. For each site, there is an audio track, and at the end of each audio track are directions to the next site sequentially. Now, begin the tour by simply playing the track of the site you would first like to visit. Site 1, Artist's Bluff. This half-mile hike to an open ledge provides a dramatic view of Franconia Notch, framed by the ski slopes of Cannon Mountain on the right, Eagle Cliff, Mount Lafayette, and the other peaks of the Franconia Ridge on the left, and Echo Lake below. As its name suggests, Artist Bluff was a favorite spot among several influential painters in the late 1800s, including Edward Hill, artist-in-residence at the Profile House in Franconia Notch. The scene was a little different back then. The ski trails of Cannon Mountain had yet to be cut. The only buildings were those of the Profile House, one of the earliest and most distinguished White Mountain resorts, and there was no Franconia Notch Parkway, only a carriage road, and later the Profile and Franconia Notch Railroad, which entered the notch from the north to shuttle tourists to and from the resort. The forests of Franconia Notch, however, have not changed dramatically. 18th century art from this vantage point brought the rugged beauty of Franconia Notch to a widespread and influential audience, helping to popularize the region and save its forests from sale to lumber companies in the 1920s. To hike Artist Bluff, take exit 34C off I-93 US 3, a road known throughout the park as the Franconia Notch Parkway. The east trailhead provides the most direct access to Artist Bluff and is located across the street from the Echo Lake Beach parking lot. A fee may apply to park there in season. The path travels somewhat steeply over rock steps for a half mile to the lookout point. The west trailhead is found on the edge of Cannon Mountain's Peabody Slopes parking lot, just a little north on Route 18. From either trailhead, you can complete a hiking loop that includes the summits of Bald Mountain and Artist Bluff, both with excellent views. If you're parked at Echo Lake Beach, you're already at the next stop on the Weeks Act Legacy Trail. Take in the views of the Franconia Notch Forest from Artist Bluff, then travel shoreside to discover the hero who led the charge to save them. Site 2, Echo Lake and Ayers Plaque. Echo Lake has been the centerpiece of tourism to Franconia Notch since the 1850s. The Profile House, a grand resort that once stood just south of the lake, operated a steam-powered paddle boat on its waters. Today, people explore the 38-acre lake in canoes and kayaks and still enjoy swimming and trout fishing just as visitors have for over a century and a half. The beach on the North Shore is operated by the New Hampshire State Park System and is a convenient place to enjoy these activities. Adjacent to the beach, you will find a plaque honoring Philip Wheelock Ayers, the first forester of the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests. Ayers was a leading voice in the conservation movement. The plaque recognizes him for his role in the creation of both the White Mountain National Forest and Franconia Notch State Park. Ayers publicized the deforestation of the White Mountains and organized influential groups to lobby Congress for their protection. He also orchestrated a grassroots fundraising campaign to purchase Franconia Notch for the state in the 1920s, saving it from the lumber companies who were poised to buy it. The movement to save Franconia Notch included U.S. veterans lobbying to preserve it as a war memorial, schoolchildren selling adoption certificates for trees in the forest, and the New Hampshire General Federation of Women's Clubs adopting the cause as a civic duty. The result of Ayers' efforts are visible today from this spot: Franconia Notch preserved as a state park, and hundreds of thousands of acres outside it federally managed as a national forest. At the next stop on the Weeks Act Legacy Trail, Cannon Mountain, you'll have further opportunity to enjoy the beauty and recreation of Franconia Notch. Return to the Franconia Notch Parkway and head south, taking exit 34B to arrive at the base of Cannon's aerial tramway. Site 3, Cannon Mountain. There is a rich legacy of tourism and recreation on the site of what is today the base of the Cannon Mountain Aerial Tramway. From 1853 to 1923, this was the location of the Profile House, a luxury resort named after a rock outcropping known as the Profile, the Great Stone Face, and the Old Man of the Mountain. The Profile House was destroyed by fire in 1923, and the resort's 6,000 acres were eventually sold to the state. In 1938, the state completed construction of the nation's first aerial tramway here, a concept borrowed from Europe to fan the growth of skiing as an industry and draw additional tourism to the region in the summer. Today, the tramway runs in its second generation, with two cars each capable of carrying 80 passengers to the summit. As you ride up, keep your eyes open for peregrine falcons that nest on the mountain's cliffs. The New England Ski Museum is fittingly located at the base of Cannon Mountain. There is also the Old Man of the Mountain Museum, dedicated to the famous state icon that fell from Cannon Mountain in 2003. From the height of Cannon Mountain, the Weeksack Legacy Trail now follows the headwaters of the Pemigewasset River south to another of Franconia Notch's spectacular wonders. Drive the Franconia Notch Parkway south to exit 34A to find the Flume Gorge Visitor Center. Site 4, Flume Gorge Visitor Center. A good stop for food, restrooms, and detailed information on Franconia Notch, the Flume Gorge Visitor Center is best known as the gateway to an amazing 800-foot-long chasm, with granite walls rising as high as 90 feet. For a fee, you can travel a 2-mile path from the Flume Visitor Center that takes you on boardwalks into the gorge and up close with waterfalls, flowers, ferns, and mosses. Other attractions along the path include Sentinel Pool and Sentinel Pine Bridge, one of the oldest covered bridges in the state, and built over the fallen Sentinel Pine, one of the largest trees in the state, before falling across the Pemigewasset River in 1938. Shorter walking routes are available for those who don't want to do the full loop. After the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests helped the state purchase Franconia Notch in 1927, it maintained ownership of the Flume Gorge Reservation for 20 years, running it as a park. In 1947, the Flume Gorge became a part of Franconia Notch State Park. Interested in exploring the Notch on bicycle? The Flume Gorge Visitor Center is the southern terminus of the Franconia Notch Bike Path, a paved recreation trail connecting most of the Notch's attractions. The next leg of the Weeksack Legacy Trail takes us south to the entrance of the famed Kankamaga Scenic Byway. Travel south on Route 3 for 2.5 miles, then merge right onto I-93 South. Take exit 32 for the town of Lincoln. At the bottom of the off-ramp, turn left onto Route 112. The next stop, the White Mountain Visitor Center, is on the right. Site 5, White Mountain Visitor Center. The White Mountains Visitor Center in Lincoln is staffed by two organizations, White Mountains Attractions and the USDA Forest Service. The highlight of this stop is a superb walk-through interactive exhibit created by the Forest Service on the history and use of the White Mountain National Forest, including exhibits on the Weeksack. Forest Service staff can give recommendations on hiking trails, campgrounds, and programs. This is a great chance to orient yourself with the White Mountains before continuing on your adventure. The town of Lincoln provides many opportunities for food and fuel. You should consider both before continuing on the driving tour. To reach the next site along the trail, take a right out of the White Mountain Visitor Center onto Route 112 and travel 2.7 miles. Loon Mountain will be on your right. Site 6, Loon Mountain Logging Train. Loon Mountain is an example of past and present use of what is now the White Mountain National Forest. On display at the resort's entrance is a Porter 50-ton saddle tank engine used on the East Branch and Lincoln Railroad, the largest of the White Mountain logging railroads that crisscrossed these mountains at the turn of the 20th century. Timber Baron James E. Henry used the EB&L Railroad to extract 600 million board feet of timber from the surrounding land, feeding the forest to his saw, pulp, and paper mills that gave rise to the town of Lincoln. With the passing of the Weeks Act and the decline of logging, towns like Lincoln have reinvented themselves by developing recreation-based tourism. Today, several four-season resorts, including Loon, operate on the White Mountain National Forest under special use permit from the USDA Forest Service. Now is a good time to check your vehicle's fuel gauge. If you're low, take a left out of Loon to return to Lincoln. Otherwise, turn right to head east on Route 112. You're about to embark on a 34-mile drive across the undeveloped Kankamaugus Scenic Byway. Site 7, the Kankamaugus Highway. The Kankamaugus Highway, often called the Kank by locals, is a national scenic byway connecting the town of Lincoln in the west with Conway in the east. Translating to the Fearless One, the road is named after the third-generation leader of the Penacook Confederacy, a politically united group of tribes that once spread throughout much of central and northern New England. Violence between natives and European settlers forced the tribes to scatter in the late 1600s, with Kankamaugus and his followers fleeing into northern New Hampshire and Canada. The Kankamaugus Highway follows many of the railroad beds and skidding roads of the defunct EB&L and Swift River logging companies, as well as carriage roads developed by early settlers of the White Mountains interior. The routes were eventually connected, then paved and opened in 1959 as the highway you find today. The Kankamaugus Highway provides an exclusive look at the innermost sections of the White Mountain National Forest, sections that could only have been seen by hikers just a few decades ago. Out of Lincoln, you'll drive alongside the east branch of the Pemigewasset River to a peak elevation of 2,855 feet above sea level, then drop down along the Swift River on your way to Conway. As you travel through the heart of the White Mountain National Forest, stop and explore the wonderful scenic areas, rivers, waterfalls, hiking trails, campgrounds, and historic places that dot the Kankamaugus roadside. Be on the lookout for moose and other wildlife. Sightings are a common occurrence along this road. The next seven stops on our journey will be on the Kankamaugus Highway. The first is the Lincoln Woods Visitor Center and Trail, located on the left side of the road, 2.5 miles east of Loon Mountain. Site 8, Lincoln Woods Visitor Center and Trail. Lincoln Woods was the site where timber baron James E. Henry's East Branch and Lincoln Railroad branched deep into the forest, following the tributaries of the Pemigewasset River and stripping the land of its resources. By the time the Weeks Act was passed, little was left of the forests in this area. Today, the rails have been replaced by recreation paths taking you into the regrown forest. The Lincoln Woods Visitor Center marks the beginning of the Lincoln Woods Trail. Here you'll find several interpretive displays on the land and its history, before coming to a 180-foot suspension bridge spanning the east branch of the Pemigewasset River. The trail follows the old railroad grade for 2.8 miles and is very popular with families for hiking, mountain biking, cross-country skiing, and snowshoeing because of its straight, flat stretches. There are also several challenging hiking trails that branch off the Lincoln Woods Trail. Remnants of the old railroad include railroad ties that are still part of the trail, and if you look closely, you may see trestle abutments along the banks of several brooks and rivers. At Lincoln Woods, forests have returned in full, where they had previously been eradicated. The slash-and-burn philosophy of timber baron James E. Henry has been replaced by the heavily considered management of the USDA Forest Service. To learn more about modern forestry practices in the National Forest, continue to the Discovery Trail. Take a left out of Lincoln Woods. The Discovery Trail parking lot is on the left, 2.2 miles east on the Kankamaugus Highway. Site 9, the Discovery Trail. The White Mountain National Forest is a working forest. It continues to provide jobs and forest products like timber. The Discovery Trail is a 1.5 mile walking loop that shows you how the forest is managed for these uses responsibly. Along the Discovery Trail, you will see how, unlike slash and burn techniques of old, modern forest practices are patterned after natural disturbances to maintain a healthy, renewable forest, habitat for fish and wildlife, and opportunities for recreation. The Discovery Trail is an easy walk for all ages and is universally accessible. Along the way are 10 interpretive displays explaining the scenes before you. A Discovery Trail curriculum can be downloaded from the White Mountain National Forest website. The website also has contact information for planning group visits. The next stop on the Weeksack Legacy Trail takes us a little deeper into the forest. Continue traveling east on the Kankamagas Highway, 2.2 miles. The head of the Greeley Ponds Trail will be on the right at a sharp bend in the road. Site 10, the Greeley Ponds. The Greeley Ponds are a pair of remote mountain ponds surrounded by old-growth forest that survived the logging onslaught of over a century ago. Nestled between the steep slopes of Mounts Kankamagas and Osceola, the ponds themselves are an easy, level hike from the Kankamagas Highway. The trail starts from a small parking lot just south of a hairpin turn in the highway. It traverses several split log bridges over small brooks and muddy sections before reaching Upper Greeley Pond at 1.6 miles and Lower Greeley Pond at 2.1 miles. The trail is popular in winter with snowshoers and cross-country skiers. Lower Greeley Pond is the headwaters of the Mad River, a tributary of the Pemigewasset. The Greeley Pond area was protected in 1920. In 1968, it was designated a White Mountain National Forest Scenic Area. Camping and campfires are prohibited year-round to maintain the unspoiled beauty. Next on the Weeksack Legacy Trail, the view from the top of the Kankamagas Highway at the Pemigewasset Overlook. Travel 3.5 miles east to an elevation of over 2,800 feet, and you'll find the Pemigewasset Overlook on the right. Site 11, the Pemigewasset Overlook. The Pemigewasset Overlook features a stunning western view from just below the height of land on the Kankamagas Highway. The effects of the Weeksack and nature's recuperative powers are on full display in the forests that drape the mountains from here to the horizon. Mountains that only a century ago were heavily logged and even burned. The word Pemigewasset is Abenaki and refers to the swift current of the Pemigewasset River. This parking area is on the eastern edge of the Pemigewasset watershed. Rain that falls along the highway from this point west will eventually make its way into the Pemigewasset River, then into the Merrimack River. This site features a sheltered picnic area, an interpretive geology display, toilets, and a short universal access trail. For an especially breathtaking view, stop at this west-facing overlook at sunset. Just east of this point, the highway travels over Kankamagas Pass. Next, we will descend the Kankamagas Highway and follow the Swift River towards Conway. Our first stop, however, is just beyond the height of land. Turn right out of the parking lot and travel 0.2 miles for a view from the eastern side of this pass at the C.L. Graham Wangen Ground Overlook. Site 12, the C.L. Graham Wangen Grounds Scenic Overlook. The C.L. Graham Wangen Grounds Overlook offers panoramic views east into the Sawyer Pond watershed. Rain that falls here, on the east side of the Kankamagas Pass, will eventually make its way into the Saco River. A covered viewing pavilion contains interpretive panels on the path of water in the mountains and on forest life zones. The site is named after Clifford Graham, the longest-serving forest supervisor of the White Mountain National Forest. Among Graham's accomplishments was the establishment of a Citizens Advisory Committee to help steer management of the White Mountain National Forest. The term Wangen refers to the site's previous use as a storage ground for logging camps. Buildings for storage or crude shelter were called Wangens. Next on the Weeksack Legacy Trail, a White Mountain historical gem. Travel just over 9 miles east on the Kankamagas Highway to the Passaconway Historic Site. Site 13, the Passaconway Historic Site. The Russell Colbath Homestead is the last significant remnant of the town of Passaconway. Named after Kankamagas' grandfather, the larger-than-life Native American chief who founded the Penacook Confederacy, the town of Passaconway was at its peak in the 1850s, when its population supported 7 one-room school buildings. The first pioneers arrived on foot, hunted, trapped, and cleared land for farms. Wagon road and then railroad increased access to Passaconway, and the town grew to support the industries of logging and tourism. The Russell Colbath Homestead was built between 1831 and 1832, and purchased by the U.S. Forest Service in 1969. Interpretive panels surrounding the homestead reveal fascinating glimpses into pioneer life, from what the pioneers were able to grow in their gardens for food to the natural remedies they used to fight illness and injury. The timber frame barn was built in 2004 and is used primarily to host Forest Service programs. There is also an easy walking path through the forest with interpretive panels leading to the Swift River. Visitors today can tour the restored and authentically furnished building and learn about the characters and way of life of the Passaconway era. Consider this. How does the land around Passaconway today compare to the 1800s? What effect might the Weeks Act have had on this difference? The next stop on the Weeks Act Legacy Trail takes us back to the present-day use of the forest. Travel 12.6 miles east on the Kankamagus Highway to reach the White Mountain National Forest Saco Ranger Station on the left. Site 14, the Saco Ranger Station. The White Mountain National Forest is divided into three administrative districts, Pemigewasset, Androscoggin, and Saco. One of the main purposes of the Weeks Act was to protect the headwaters of navigable waterways. Fittingly, these districts are named after the great rivers fed by their headwaters. Each district operates an administrative office known as a ranger station. Of the three, the Saco Ranger Station is the most visited. In addition to offices, the Saco Ranger Station houses a staffed information center, indoor nature exhibit, bookstore, and outdoor native plant pollinator garden with interpretive signs. This is an excellent source for information on campgrounds, programs, wildlife, hiking, and other recreation in the National Forest. The Weeks Act Legacy Trail leads us now to one of North Conway's famed icons of beauty and recreation. Take a left out of the Saco Ranger Station parking lot, then go left at the traffic light onto Route 16. Follow Route 16 for 0.8 miles through Conway Village. Then take a left at the traffic lights onto Washington Street. Stay left at a fork marked by a water fountain and the Conway-covered bridge. You are now on West Side Road. Travel 5.7 miles, then turn left at a sign for Echo Lake State Park, onto Echo Lake Road. The road ends in 0.2 miles at Echo Lake State Park. Site 15, Cathedral and White Horse Ledge and Echo Lake State Park. Echo Lake State Park is famous for its small turquoise lake and two sheer cliffs, White Horse Ledge and Cathedral Ledge, that tower several hundred feet over it. The beach is a popular spot for families with young children because of its sandy swimming area and shallow water depths. There is also a mile-long hiking trail around the lake. Both ledges are popular with rock and ice climbers and are home to peregrine falcons. There are hiking trails to the top of both ledges and a paved road to the top of Cathedral Ledge that allows even non-hikers to take in the stunning view of the Mount Washington Valley. The Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests helped save Echo Lake from development in 1943 by working with the state to purchase the land around it. North Conway icons, these cliffs were purchased by private citizens and deeded to the state in the early 1900s. Another of this region's iconic views is the next stop on our journey. Leave Echo Lake Road and take a left onto West Side Road. After 0.4 miles, take a right at the intersection onto River Road. Travel 1 mile to the traffic light in North Conway. Then take a left to head northwest on Route 16302. The Intervale Scenic Vista and Visitor Center is on the left after 1.7 miles. Site 16, Route 302 Visitor Center at Intervale Overlook. An intervale is a New England term meaning a lowland along a river. Intervale, New Hampshire, a village of Bartlett, is just that. The view from this point is a stark contrast. The flat fields along the Saco River give rise, on a clear day, to the highest mountain in the northeast United States, Mount Washington. It's a scene that attracted famed 19th century artist Benjamin Champney, whose painted landscapes drew attention to the area as an artist's destination. The area grew so popular among artists that it became known as one of the nation's first artist colonies, the White Mountain School of Art. Today, the Intervale is home to a modern visitor center with a large viewing deck, where onlookers can compare and contrast the scene before them with the ones painted by Champney over a century ago. To visit the next stop on the Weeksack Legacy Trail, take a left out of the Intervale Visitor Center, then an immediate right onto Hurricane Mountain Road. About 1.6 miles up this road is the head of the hiking trail for the mountain known as Kearsarge North. Site 17, the Kearsarge North Fire Tower. The early 1900s saw an epidemic of forest fires across the White Mountains. In 1903, 10% of the forests in the White Mountains burned. At that time, there were no fire lookout towers, communication systems, or even an organization to fight forest fires. The Weeks Act of 1911 authorized the federal government to partner with the state of New Hampshire and New Hampshire Timberland Owners Association to cooperate in controlling the menace of forest fires. The unified effort trained and equipped firefighters and established fire tool caches around the state. Fire lookout stations were constructed to detect fires early, and phone lines were built for communication. This all contributed to preventing the small fires from growing into large conflagrations. The fire lookout towers kept an eye on the forest with overlapping coverage across the mountains. After World War II, airplanes became the preferred tool in fire detection, and towers were gradually phased out. Today, the summit of Kearsarge North, which is also called Pequawket, is home to one of the few remaining federal fire towers in the White Mountains. The original tower was built in 1909 and was replaced by the current structure in 1951. This tower operated until 1968 and was placed on the National Historic Fire Lookout Register in 1991. Today, the tower is open to hikers for 360-degree views, some of the most spectacular in the White Mountains. The trail spans 3.1 miles from the trailhead to the 3,251-foot summit and is a moderate to strenuous hike. The next stop on the Weeksack Legacy Trail brings us to a testing ground for forest management. Return to Route 16302 and follow it northwest 3.5 miles to where the roads separate at an intersection in Glen. Continue straight at the traffic light, staying on Route 302, west for 6.2 miles. The Bartlett Experimental Forest will be on your left. Site 18, the Bartlett Experimental Forest. What is the best way to regrow and maintain a healthy forest? What effects do different management techniques have on wildlife habitat? Prior to the clear-cutting of the White Mountains at the turn of the 20th century, little data was available to answer these questions. The Bartlett Experimental Forest was established in 1931 to help gather the information needed to answer them. Here, the USDA Forest Service can literally experiment with forest management techniques in order to bring the best in silviculture and ecological practices to the rest of the White Mountain National Forest and beyond. Research here on the Northern Hardwood Forest has been very influential on management practices throughout the Northeast. You can explore the forest by traveling south on Bear Notch Road, which is closed in winter. Bear Notch is a winding road that connects to the Kankamagus Highway, and several gravel roads lead to the experimental forest from its west side. From planning for the future, the Weeksack Legacy Trail takes us to a spot where we uncover the past. From the northern end of Bear Notch Road, travel about 4 miles west on Route 302 and turn left onto Sawyer River Road. Follow this dirt road up about 2 miles, it's closed in winter, to the ghost town of Livermore. Site 19, Livermore. Hard to believe, but at the turn of the 20th century, this stretch of dense interior forest along an inconspicuous mountain stream was a fully functioning town with a schoolhouse, store, homes, a power plant, and more. It was here that the Saunders family of Lawrence, Massachusetts, built a sawmill in 1875, helped incorporate the town of Livermore in 1876, and began construction of the Sawyer River Railroad in 1877. The town population swelled to a peak of 190 residents in support of the lumber operation. But fires, floods, timber-damaging storms, and other hardships led to the decline and eventual dissolving of the town. The land was sold to the federal government for inclusion in the White Mountain National Forest in 1937. Today, a walk just off Sawyer River Road, parts of which were once a railroad bed, reveals all that is left of the town. New forest, mosses, and generations of fallen leaves have not totally hidden the remains of the sawmill, powerhouse, and other structures. Our next stop on the Weeksack Legacy Trail is a trail itself. Return to Route 302 and continue west about 6.8 miles to the Webster Cliff Trail on the right. It's part of the famous Appalachian Trail. Site 20, Appalachian Trail Crossing. The Appalachian Trail, or AT, runs approximately 2,175 miles from Springer Mountain, Georgia to Mount Katahdin, Maine. Included in those are 161 miles in New Hampshire, considered by many to be the most spectacular and challenging of the entire trail, traversing rare alpine zones, four wilderness areas, and 17 peaks above 4,000 feet. The idea of the AT was first promoted in 1921 by the Harvard-educated forester Benton Mackay. Mackay knew the value of these forests as headwaters, having personally collected much of the scientific data linking the health of White Mountain forests to the health of stream flow. He also knew their value as a refuge from urban sprawl and a source of recreation. In 1925, Mackay organized a conference in Washington, D.C. to initiate the creation of the Appalachian Trail. The trail was completed in 1937 and is today known as one of the world's premier hiking paths, famous for the natural beauty surrounding it, up and down the Appalachian mountain range. Consider, though, what the reputation of the trail might be without the lands protected by the Weeksack. How many national forests does the AT pass through, from Georgia to Maine? Our current location on the tour is the head of the Webster Cliff Trail, part of the AT. The trail begins with an easy nature walk over a flat gravel path to a footbridge over the Saco River. Beyond that, however, the trail is challenging, rising steeply over 2 miles to the top of Mount Webster. To return to the Weeksack Legacy Trail, follow Route 302 west for 1 mile to the Willie House in Crawford Notch State Park. Site 21, Crawford Notch State Park. Crawford Notch State Park consists of about 6,000 acres, purchased by the state of New Hampshire in 1912 and 1913 to protect it from over-harvest of timber. This is where you will find some of the most dramatic scenery in the White Mountains, including towering cliff walls, looming mountaintops, waterfalls, and rivers. It's also home to some of the most dramatic stories, one of which is commemorated here at the Willie House Historical Site. In 1825, Samuel Willie Jr. of Bartlett moved his family to the floor of the wild and inhospitable Notch to operate an inn for travelers. In the overnight of August 28, 1826, one of the most notorious rainstorms in White Mountain history caused a landslide on the mountain above the Willie House. While the building itself was spared of damage, all family members and hired workers were killed in what is believed to have been an attempt at fleeing the impending disaster. News of the tragedy spread and contributed to a growing fascination with the White Mountains, particularly among artists and writers. Today, the site of the Willie House is home to a state park information center and gift shop, interpretive nature trails, and a dammed section of the Saco River open to trout fishing for children 12 and under. For a bird's eye view of Crawford Notch, continue west on Route 302 for about 2.7 miles to the Crawford Notch train depot on the left. This is the start of the hiking trail up Mount Willard, the next stop on the Weeksack Legacy Trail. Site 22, Mount Willard. The view of Crawford Notch from the top of Mount Willard has been an attraction throughout most of the Notch's great history. Over a century ago, visitors could take a horse-drawn carriage ride to the overlook at the top. Today, the carriage road is a hiking trail that climbs 900 feet in elevation over 1.7 miles to the breathtaking vista. The open ledge at the top of the trail looks down on the dramatic U-shape of Crawford Notch carved by the last continental glacier. Two eras of transportation stretch side by side through the notch, Route 302 on the left, and on the right the rails laid by the Portland and Ogdensburg Railroad Company in the 1870s. The railroad sparked a surge in White Mountain tourism and, at the same time, provided a mainline for logging railroads to get their product to the coast, accelerating two ideologically opposed industries toward a head-on collision. Today, the land in front of you is a New Hampshire state park, and the rails are operated for sightseeing excursions out of North Conway. Frankenstein Trestle, named after artist Godfrey Frankenstein, is an awe-inspiring work of human ingenuity, spanning more than 500 feet across and 80 feet above Frankenstein Gulf. To hike Mount Willard, take the Avalon Trail behind the Crawford Notch train depot. The trail for Mount Willard forks to the left shortly. Beyond the mouth of this great notch lie several other sites of great beauty, historical significance, and recreational interest. They await on the Weeksack Legacy Trail. Site 23, Saco and Amonoosuc Lakes. Saco Lake at the top of Crawford Notch is the headwaters of the Saco River. This small, shallow lake is often photographed and painted with Elephant's Head, a rock formation at the entrance to the notch in the background. You can explore different views around the lake via a footpath around it. One point of interest is a pet cemetery from the days of the Crawford House, a grand hotel that once existed at the top of the notch. Amonoosuc Lake is on the other side of Route 302. Starting behind the AMC Highland Center, the Around the Lake Trail takes you for an easy walk, you guessed it, around the lake. You'll stroll through shady evergreen forests, perhaps see a beaver, wood duck, or even a moose, and discover an esker, a sand and gravel ridge formed by glacial action. A side trail takes you to a red bench for views of the Presidential Range. The total trip around the lake with the offshoot to the Red Bench and back is 1.8 miles. When you get back from your walk around Amonoosuc Lake, you'll be at the next site on our tour, a dream realized by one of the leading supporters of the Weeksack, the Appalachian Mountain Club. Site 24, the AMC Highland Center. The AMC has always been on the forefront of conservation in the White Mountains, helping to draft a bill for the creation of a forest reserve as early as 1903. It was with the support of the AMC and its members' influence on Congress that the Weeks Act of 1911 was finally passed. Today, the AMC operates a string of backcountry huts along the Appalachian Trail, under special use permit from the U.S. Forest Service. It also operates two overnight lodges in the White Mountains, including the Highland Center. The Highland Center is in many ways the fulfillment of a vision formed years prior to the Weeksack. This is a center for outdoor recreation and education surrounded by protected forests and open to the public. It's a great spot to get information on recreational activities, conditions and forecasts, trail information, and even take overnight lodging. In 2011, the Highland Center added a natural playscape playground for children. Prior to the Highland Center, this was the site of the Crawford House, a grand hotel that survived for over a century. the studio of Frank Shapley, artist in residence at the Crawford House from 1877 to 1893, has been preserved by the AMC as a bunkhouse. We venture now across the street from the AMC Highland Center to one of the White Mountains' most historic hiking trails. Site 25, the Crawford Path. The Crawford Path is the oldest continuously used mountain trail in America. It was cleared by Abel Crawford and his son, Ethan Allen Crawford, beginning in 1819. The Crawfords were pioneers in many aspects, building roads and trails and becoming the first lodging magnates of the Great Notch, which would later be known by their name. The Crawford Path was cleared in 1819 as a tourist attraction for guided treks into the alpine zone of the Presidential Range, first as a footpath, then later as a bridle path for horseback ascents. Today, the Crawford Path is a popular hiking route and becomes part of the Appalachian Trail above Treeline. The trail follows Gibbs Brook, which cascades through rugged terrain and some rare old-growth forest. Best access is via a dedicated parking lot off Route 302, just west of the Highland Center. Hike the Crawford Connector Trail a half mile to the Crawford Path. The Crawford Path continues to the summit of Mount Washington, but should only be attempted by fit hikers properly equipped. It is a full day's hike, 8 miles long, and the ridgeline is fully exposed to the elements. The Crawford Path traverses the ridge of the Southern Presidential Mountains. For a view of this ridge from a breathtaking standpoint, head to the next site on the Weeksack Legacy Trail, 1.5 miles west on Route 302. The Mount Eisenhower Wayside is on the right. Site 26, the Mount Eisenhower Wayside. The Mount Eisenhower Wayside, operated by the New Hampshire State Park System, is a small hill with a tremendous view. Park on the north side of Route 302 in the gravel parking lot and walk the short footpath to the hilltop for a panorama of the Southern Presidential Range, including the peaks of Mounts Pierce, Eisenhower, Monroe, and Washington. In the foreground is a 20,000-acre bowl with noticeable signs of forest fire history. To the right, on the backs of Mounts Webster and Jackson, you may notice fir waves, alternating patterns of live and dead fir trees on wind-exposed slopes. Over the years, these waves appear to move across the slope, as trees on the more exposed edge of the wave die, and trees on the more protected edge of the wave regenerate. When the Presidentials were first named, there weren't enough presidents for all the peaks in the range. Mount Eisenhower, 4,780 feet above sea level, was first known as Mount Pleasant or Pleasant Dome. Sherman Adams, whose resume included New Hampshire governor, White House chief of staff, and founder of Loon Mountain Ski Resort, led the movement to rename the mountain after the 34th President of the United States. A dedication was held at this wayside in 1972 to celebrate the official name change to Mount Eisenhower. Another site rich in history is next on our tour. Travel 1.6 miles west on Route 302 to the Mount Washington Hotel overlook on the right. Site 27, the Mount Washington Hotel Overlook. The Mount Washington Hotel is in the National Registry of Historic Places. Joseph Stickney, a New Hampshire native, Pennsylvania coal and railroad magnate, and already the owner of the area's premier resort at the time, the Mount Pleasant House, started construction of the Mount Washington in 1900. This was the golden age of White Mountain tourism by railroad, and Stickney imported 250 Italian craftsmen to make this his masterpiece, the first hotel of its kind in the White Mountains to be built from scratch as a grand hotel. The Weeks Act was strongly supported by the tourism industry in the White Mountains to keep the surroundings clean and natural and to prevent guests from straying to other destinations like the Adirondacks. In 1944, the Mount Washington received worldwide attention when delegates from 44 countries met at the Bretton Woods International Monetary Conference to establish the modern-day rules of international commerce and finance. The Stickney Chapel, just east of the hotel on Route 302, was built in dedication to Joseph Stickney by his wife Carolyn in 1906, 3 years after his death. It is believed to have been built by many of the same craftsmen as the Mount Washington Hotel. Across the street from the chapel, a plaque honors John Anderson, whose family helped bring the Portland and Ogdensburg Railroad to Crawford Notch, and who supported the Weeks Act in an effort to keep tourism alive in the White Mountains. The next stop on the Weeks Act Legacy Trail is 1.6 miles west on Route 302. Turn right onto Old Cherry Mountain Road. The Fabian Guard Station is just up the gravel road on the left before the road gate. Site 28, Fabian Guard Station. The Fabian Guard Station was the first permanent structure built on the National Forest by the Forest Service, and is today the only remaining guard station. Managing the vast White Mountain National Forest before modern notch roads, automobiles, and other technology required great resourcefulness. This cabin was built with hand tools by eventual forest supervisor C.L. Graham, using spruce logs cut on site. Guard stations like this one provided field quarters for forest officials, watching over 40 to 50,000 acres of forest. These stations became obsolete as transportation technology advanced, and today, this lone example remains. Another interesting attraction here is the road, Old Cherry Mountain Road. To create some of the original throughways of the White Mountains without incurring state or town expense, New Hampshire allowed private companies to build roads and charge tolls for their use. This road was built as the Jefferson Turnpike in 1811. At its southern end, near modern-day Route 302, the 10th New Hampshire Turnpike headed east, and the Littleton Turnpike headed west. Together, these turnpikes provided the first real corridor of travel between Vermont and the seacoast, encouraging inland commerce and tourism. Today, the road is maintained by the Forest Service as a seasonal road. One of the fascinating natural features here is the Deception Esker, a sand and gravel deposit left by retreating glaciers. Much of the road is built along this esker. As you explore this area, please note, historic places on the National Forest are protected by federal law. Please leave it where you find it for the benefit of future generations. For the next site on the Weeks Act Legacy Trail, return to the beginning of Old Cherry Mountain Road and take a right onto Lower Falls Road, just before reaching Route 302. Park at the gate and take a 5-minute walk to discover Lower Falls on the Amonoosuc River. Site 29, Lower Falls of the Amonoosuc River. Lower Falls on the Amonoosuc River is an easily accessed waterfall cascading 30 to 40 feet over granite steps naturally carved out by the water. The graded trail leading up to the falls is suitable for all ages and abilities. At the bottom of the falls, the water forms a wide pool deep enough for swimming. This is also a good spot for trout fishing when not crowded. In the late 1800s, Lower Falls was the site of one of James E. Henry's first sawmills, and the pool at the bottom of the falls was clogged with byproduct from the mill. How does this image compare with the image before you today? The Amonoosuc River is a major tributary of the Connecticut River, New England's longest, and one of its most important for industry. How might have changes to the Amonoosuc River affected people and businesses along the Connecticut River prior to the Weeks Act? How does the health of this spot today contribute to local industry? Up ahead on the Weeks Act Legacy Trail, more recreation on a site once dominated by the logging industry. Travel west on Route 302 for 1.4 miles, then turn left into the Zeeland Picnic Area. Site 30, Zeeland Picnic Area. Zeeland was a logging town, started by James E. Henry in the late 1800s. Henry first started logging east of here, around the current-day Mount Washington Hotel. But in 1884, Henry started the Zeeland Valley Railroad and switched his focus to this spot. Buildings in Zeeland included a mill, store, post office, charcoal kilns, and lodging for workers. As was his trademark, Henry made quick work of the forest. By 1892, there was little left to log, and Henry moved his operation to Lincoln. The Zeeland Valley, clear-cut, eroded, and covered in slash, burned in the devastating fire of 1903. Today, the forest has returned, and recreation has replaced logging as the principal activity. The Zeeland Road, which is closed in winter, runs 3.5 miles into the valley along much of the old railroad bed and provides access to numerous popular hiking trails. The picnic area and campground here at the base of the road are idyllic resting spots where J.E. Henry's town once stood. Across the bridge on the right side is the start of the Flat Iron Trail, an easy walk in summer and popular cross-country ski trail in winter. It follows the Zeeland and Ammonoosuc rivers along an old road once known as Glacial Ridge Road, so named because it was built on a gravel ridge, or esker, left by a glacier. Next, the Weeks Act Legacy Trail explores further into the Zeeland Valley. From the Zeeland Picnic Area, travel 1 mile up the Zeeland Road. The trailhead of the Sugarloaf Trail is on the right, just across a bridge. Site 31, Sugarloaf and Trestle Trails. The Sugarloaf Trail is a relatively short mountain hike with nice views, a great choice for families and less experienced hikers. At its beginning, the trail coincides with the Trestle Trail, a pleasant 1 mile loop over railroad grades along the Zeeland River with little elevation change. The Sugarloaf Trail diverges from the Trestle Trail early and climbs gradually among huge boulders left by retreating glaciers. Eventually, the trail presents the choice of turning left to summit Middle Sugarloaf or right to summit North Sugarloaf. Middle Sugarloaf has a steep climb with a ladder right at the end, making North Sugarloaf the better choice for less able hikers. The hike from Zeeland Road to the summit of North Sugarloaf is 1.2 miles. The hike to Middle Sugarloaf is just a little longer at 1.4 miles. Although modest in height at around 2,500 feet above sea level, well below treeline, both summits remain bare from the forest fire of 1903 and offer fine views. There is an abandoned smoky quartz mine at the top of North Sugarloaf, and amateur collectors can still find crystals there. The next two stops on our tour are also hikes off the Zeeland Road. Continue about 1.6 miles on Zeeland Road, or about 2.5 miles from Route 302. The Hale Brook Trail to the summit of Mount Hale is on the right or west side of the road. Site 32, Mount Hale. Mount Hale is named after Reverend Edward Everett Hale of Boston, a well-known 19th century writer and philanthropist. Early in his life, Hale helped with some of the original surveying of the White Mountains, then helped popularize the mountains through his writing. Hale was a passionate member of the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests. At the American Forest Congress of 1905, he gave voice to the troubling story of the White Mountain forests and endorsed the idea of forest reserves. The Hale Brook Trail is a moderate to strenuous climb over 2.3 miles. Mount Hale's summit, 4,054 feet above sea level, is bare but surrounded by trees, making views a little difficult. Look for the remnants of a steel fire tower constructed in 1929 to monitor the Zeeland Valley. A unique natural feature of Mount Hale is the presence of magnetic rocks, which spin the needle of a compass when near. The Lend a Hand Trail, which connects the summits of Mount Hale and Zeeland, is named after the magazine and charitable society Edward Hale founded, both of which focused on volunteerism. Our tour's third hike in the Zeeland Valley is next. From the head of the Hale Brook Trail, travel Zeeland Road 1 mile to its end, 3.5 miles from Route 302. This is the start of the Zeeland Trail, leading to the AMC's Zeeland Falls Hut. Site 33, Zeeland Trail to Zeeland Notch and Zeeland Falls Hut. The Zeeland Road mostly follows the grade of J.E. Henry's old Zeeland Valley Railroad. Where the road ends, the Zealand Trail begins, allowing continued travel on foot where rails once lay. The path follows the general course of the Zealand River, past beaver ponds and through restored forest in what was a clear-cut, burned-over wasteland in the early 1900s. At 2.5 miles, the trail reaches an intersection where you can follow the Ethan Pond Trail, part of the Appalachian Trail, or take the Twinway Trail for 0.3 miles to Zealand Falls, the AMC's Zealand Falls Hut, and a view of Zealand Notch. The Weeksack Legacy Trail now returns to town. Follow the Zealand Road back to Route 302, then turn left and travel 2.2 miles west to the intersection of Route 302 and Route 3. Turn right at the lights to visit the Twin Mountain Gazebo. Site 34, the Twin Mountain Gazebo. This bright yellow gazebo and Carroll Memorial Bandstand is operated by the Twin Mountain Bretton Woods Chamber of Commerce as a visitor information center. With the decline of the logging industry, White Mountain communities have embraced recreation-based tourism. This booth is open and staffed in summer months with information on surrounding activities and attractions. On select summer nights, you might find the community gathered here at the Carroll Memorial Bandstand for live music in front of fine views of the Twin Mountain Range. The bandstand was dedicated during the nation's 1976 bicentennial year to those who gave their lives in service of our country. Outside the gazebo is a war memorial honoring local soldiers. The town of Twin Mountain is a good place to get fuel and food as we begin the last leg of the Weeksack Legacy Trail. To get to the next site, from the gazebo parking lot, head back to the intersection of Route 302 and Route 3. At the lights, go straight onto Route 3 south and travel roughly 4.3 miles. The parking lot for Beaver Brook Wayside and Trails will be on the left. Site 35, the Beaver Brook Wayside and Trails. The Beaver Brook Wayside and Trails is a great example of a forest actively managed by the USDA Forest Service for multiple uses. There are three hiking and cross-country ski trails that wind through the forest. As you travel, you'll come across small, carefully selected areas of clear-cut forest, where mature, damaged, or diseased trees were harvested. These clear cuts promote the growth of valuable tree species like birch that don't thrive in crowded forests that block out the sun. These and several other maintained openings in the forest also provide prime wildlife habitat. On the Moose Watch Trail, you might see a moose feeding on twigs growing on young trees on the edge of an opening. As you explore the forest and observe wildlife, consider how these small, purposeful clear cuts differ from the 10,000-acre clear-cuts common before the Weeksack. How does their impact on the future of the forest compare? The Weeksack Legacy Trail leads now to a logging ghost town reclaimed by nature. Follow Route 3 south 1.3 miles to the Gale River Road on the left. Site 35, the Beaver Brook Wayside and Trails. The Beaver Brook Wayside and Trails is a great example of a forest actively managed by the USDA Forest Service for multiple uses. There are three hiking and cross-country ski trails that wind through the forest. As you travel, you'll come across small, carefully selected areas of clear-cut forest, where mature, damaged, or diseased trees were harvested. These clear-cuts promote the growth of valuable tree species, like birch, that don't thrive in crowded forests that block out the sun. These and several other maintained openings in the forest also provide prime wildlife habitat. On the Moose Watch Trail, you might see a moose feeding on twigs growing on young trees on the edge of an opening. As you explore the forest and observe wildlife, consider how these small, purposeful clear-cuts differ from the 10,000-acre clear-cuts common before the Weeksack. How does their impact on the future of the forest compare? The Weeksack Legacy Trail leads now to a logging ghost town reclaimed by nature. Follow Route 3 south 1.3 miles to the Gale River Road on the left. Site Site 36, Gale River Forest. The Gale River Forest was the site of a short-lived logging town from 1874 to 1878, of which little remains today. The operation here appears to have been modest by 19th century standards. The Gale River Logging Railroad was used to harvest tall, straight spruce trees for the masts of ships and deliver them to the nearby but not connected Boston, Concord, and Montreal Railroad. When the select trees were gone and the operation ceased, its rail system was incorporated into the Profile and Franconia Notch Railroad, a line built by the owners of the Profile House, to shuttle tourists from Bethlehem south into Franconia Notch. Early in its life as part of the White Mountain National Forest, the Gale River Forest was an experimental forest, but the Great Hurricane of 1938 destroyed the experiments in place. Today, the gravel Gale River Road loops through restored forest and is a popular spot for mountain biking, walking, and birding. Even before the Weeks Act, the federal government had begun creating a forest reserve from land in the public domain. The next site on the Weeks Act Legacy Trail pays tribute to a U.S. president with New Hampshire ties and a legacy in conservation. Continue south on Route 3 for 8.6 miles to the Mount Cleveland Wayside on the left. Site 37, the Mount Cleveland Wayside. The Mount Cleveland Wayside is named for Grover Cleveland, the 22nd and 24th president of the United States. He was a hunter and fisherman and summered in Tamworth, New Hampshire. Cleveland used the power bestowed upon him by the Forest Reserve Act of 1891 to place 26 million acres of public land into the forest reserves in the western states, later to become national forests. Advised by conservationists Guilford Pinchot and John Muir, President Cleveland created these forest reserves during his last days of office with the debate about who would manage them and how not yet resolved. Consider this, if Cleveland was the 22nd and 24th president, who was the 23rd, and what did that president do for forest conservation? The Weeks Act Legacy Trail continues south along Route 3 towards Franconia Notch. The next site is 1.2 miles on the left side of the road, the Skookumchuck Trailhead and Bike Path. Site 38, Skookumchuck Trailhead and Bike Path. The Skookumchuck site lies just north of Franconia Notch State Park and is the head of two distinct paths. One is the Skookumchuck Trail, a hiking trail that scales the north ridge of Mount Lafayette. The lower part of the trail winds among forest actively managed for logging, resulting in better wildlife habitat, and thus viewing, than on Lafayette's more popular footpaths. The other path beginning at this site is the paved Franconia Notch Recreation Path, often referred to as the Bike Path, running the length of the notch parallel to the parkway for almost 9 miles to the Flume Gorge Visitor Center. The bike path drops 800 feet in elevation from north to south and is very winding. Riders are cautioned to watch for pedestrians, check their speed, and obey bike walk areas and other posted warnings. The next stop on the tour is south along the bike path. To reach it by automobile, travel south on Route 3. After it merges with I-93 South to become the Franconia Notch Parkway, travel 1.5 miles to exit 34C. Turn left off the exit onto New Hampshire 18 South, also known as Profile Road. Turn left off the exit onto New Hampshire 18 South, also known as Profile Road. The Hugh Gallen Wayside is a half mile ahead. Site 39, Lafayette Brook Scenic Area. The Lafayette Brook Scenic Area is viewable from the Hugh Gallen Wayside, an overlook named after the U.S. Congressman and two-term New Hampshire governor. As you look east from the viewing area, the Lafayette Brook Scenic Area spreads before you, rising upward to the impressive summit of Mount Lafayette, 5,249 feet above sea level. This is one of six scenic areas established during the 50th anniversary of the Weeks Act in 1961. If you were standing at this spot at the turn of the 20th century, you might see the Profile and Franconia Notch Railroad rumble across a trestle over Lafayette Brook, to deliver guests to the Profile House, a secluded resort that existed at the present site of the Cannon Aerial Tramway. If you look down at the brook from the Hugh Gallon Wayside, you can still see the trestles' abutments. During the height of the logging era, most of Franconia Notch remained under the ownership of the Profile House, which is likely part of the reason some of the woods in the Lafayette Brook Scenic Area were never cut. The final stop in the Weeksack Legacy Trail is the old-growth forest of the Lafayette Brook Scenic Area, located on the back slope of Eagle Cliff. Access to the old-growth trees requires a bushwhack from the Hugh Gallon Wayside along Lafayette Brook. Eagle Cliff shields the forest from view along the Franconia Notch Parkway. Site 40, Eagle Cliff Old Growth Area. The Lafayette Brook Scenic Area, behind Eagle Cliff, is one of New Hampshire's best examples of old growth forest. As you walk into the forest, Lafayette Brook separates restored forest on the left from old growth on the right. The old growth begins first as a northern hardwood forest, where yellow birch, maple, and beech are the dominant species. As the forest ascends the difficult terrain of Eagle Cliff, it becomes red spruce. Difficult logging terrain and longtime ownership by a tourism-minded company, the Profile House, might at least partially explain why these woods were never logged. Eagle Cliff, a spur of Mount Lafayette, and visible from much of the northern section of the Franconia Notch Parkway, is named for the golden eagles that nested there in the 1800s. Today, the cliff is nesting ground for peregrine falcons. To continue to Site 1 of the Weeksack Legacy Trail, Artist Bluff, take New Hampshire 18 North, also known as Profile Road, for 0.7 miles, passing under Route 93, Route 3. The trailhead is located across from Echo Lake parking lot.